We can turn back now for a few moments to the words we will find in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 11 and reading at verse 28. Through faith, he kept, that is Moses, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. In the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, the Apostle begins by giving us a definition of faith. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And what the Apostle is saying in that definition given to us in verse 1 of Hebrews 11 is that faith, saving faith, brings reality and substance to what you are hoping for. Saving faith in Jesus Christ and the promise that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is what faith does. It takes hold upon the promise, it believes that promise, and it stimulates hope for the future. But it brings things near and makes things that are not seen to be real. And I would like to look with you this evening for a short while at the only safe remedy against ever perishing. The only safe remedy against ever perishing. And first of all, I want to consider with you a shelter from wrath. A shelter from wrath. And we've got that in our text here. Through faith, he, Moses, kept the Passover. He kept the Passover. You remember when the children of Israel were down in Egypt? Well, they suffered long at the hands of their captives. And God himself was greatly provoked. But Moses, at the command of God, manifests his faith along with the elders of the congregation of Israel. You can read in Exodus chapter 12, the account for yourselves. And God commanded Moses to take a lamb in order to keep the Passover. And he, Moses, is well aware that he himself is just as guilty of sin as anyone else, even as the Egyptians. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he takes the Passover lamb, and it's slain and eaten by the Israelites at the command of God. And you remember the blood of that lamb they sprinkled on their doorposts and on their lintels with a bunch of hyssop. And as we have already quoted from verse 1, faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, in that lamb that Moses took from the flock, he took the best lamb and he slew that lamb. The Passover lamb he hoped and he saw by the eye of faith was the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now there was nothing else that could relieve Moses in his own sinful condition than seeing that by faith. He is a ruined sinner of mankind, under the threat of death at the hands of Pharaoh. That's how he sees himself. And as one who deserves the same just deserts as Pharaoh for his sins. For the wages of sin is death. But he betakes himself to the sprinkling of the blood by faith. Notice that in our text. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. Now you remember on that night in Exodus chapter 12, there was a destroying angel. And the destroying angel was sent by God to destroy the firstborn in Egypt. And the firstborn man and beast in Egypt. And it appears from our text that Moses was afraid in case that firstborn, that destroying angel would come and touch him. But he protects himself from that angel that God sent, which was an angel of justice, by doing what God commanded him to do. And this was all an evidence of his faith. And so he comes under the shelter of the blood in his house, along with the rest of the Israelites. The destroying angel would then go through the streets of Egypt, and wherever that destroying angel of justice saw the blood, that angel would pass over and leave the people inside that house. Now, the destroying angel on that night would crush him to death, along with the firstborn man and beast in Egypt. But being under this shelter of the blood, he was safe. And it brings before us this idea that Moses was very conscious himself that he knew what he deserved as a sinner. That he himself deserved to be crushed to the dust by the justice of God for his sins. Moses was aware of what he deserved. And that is why, and that is what made him go and prepare the Passover at God's command. And if there's one thing that sinners of mankind like ourselves need to be made aware of is that they are under the curse of God and they deserve to be crushed forever in a lost eternity. That is what we deserve. As a sinner, you and I to set God's wrath and curse upon you forever. We all deserve that. We all deserve to be cast away forever into outer darkness with everyone else, and fall with everyone else who will fall. Because God is angry against the sinner every day. We read that in Psalm number 11. But there is a hiding place from God's wrath against us as sinners. There is a hiding place which, if you and I take, would turn his most severe and terrible justice away from us. Now, that's exactly what John the Baptist, when he came and began his ministry, taught his hearers. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And if this Lamb of God was not needed, it would never have been provided. And if it was not needed, God would never have made the provision of bringing Jesus Christ into the world. It's not God that needed it. Of course it's not. And it's not his beloved Son either that needed this provision for himself. Not at all. It's for all of us. We all need it. Every single one of us without exception. But at the same time, God didn't need to provide it. But he has provided it for us in order to protect us from being touched by the justice of God, by being touched and utterly cast away forever from him. And you and I need it here tonight just as much as Moses needed it way back there in Exodus chapter 12. Because it's for sinners. And Moses was a sinner, and therefore he took himself to that lamb for safety against the day when God would rain down upon Egypt and on the firstborn male and beast in Egypt. Now, this was a type of the last judgment, when God will unleash his full wrath forever against the unbeliever. They will have to suffer and endure what they deserve. But the believer, on the other hand, although he and she has many faults of their own, yet he saves them. He saves them. And he saves them to the uttermost. The word uttermost here means to the very full extent that they need to be saved. Whatever their sins might be, however many they are, he saves them to the upper, to the uttermost. They have such a sufficient safety under the blood of Christ, who is the Lamb of God. And in that respect, the destroying angel of justice on that day passes over their heads and lands on someone else instead of them. And so, to be saved, you must first come to understand what you and I deserve. That you deserve to be punished everlastingly for sin. That you deserve to be the one that is led to the altar, and that you deserve to be the one to bear the vengeance of God upon you, rather than to have the privilege of coming to faith in Jesus Christ and his costly sacrifice for sinners. Because if Jesus Christ doesn't pay the penalty for our sins, we must pay the penalty for our sins. And as we said in the morning, the few hours that Jesus Christ was upon the cross at Calvary paid the penalty for a number that no man can number, to deliver them from having to suffer forever in a lost and endless eternity. That's the first thing, that the shelter from wrath. Now, in the second place, it requires faith to take this shelter from wrath. A shelter from wrath, a faith to take the shelter, secondly. As we said earlier, Moses' obedience to do what God commanded him was a great evidence of his faith. We often read in the scriptures of the obedience of faith. And he was obedient in having slain the lamb. We read in our text here, verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover. And in Exodus chapter 12, we read that he took the hyssop. I think it's verse 22. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 22. He took the hyssop and he dipped the hyssop in the basin that was full of the blood of that lamb. Now he's got the hyssop already prepared to sprinkle the blood with when the lamb is slain. And his readiness with the hyssop is the acting of his faith. It's the acting of his faith by which the blood in the basin is sprinkled upon the doorposts and the lintels. Now it's through faith that the sinner comes to have the sprinkling of the blood, not on their doorposts and lintels, but upon their own souls. In the context here of Exodus chapter 12, the blood is sprinkled on the doorposts and lintels of their houses to give them shelter. But Moses' faith looks further, and to the one spoken of by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ our Passover, he says, is crucified for us. For us. Christ our Passover is crucified for us. Now in that portion of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's speaking of a man who committed incest. And the Apostle Paul is telling him to purge out the old leaven of incest. It's old leaven because he seems to have been a long time in the continuance of this particular sin. But on the night of the Passover, just before the Passover, the children of Israel were also commanded by God through Moses to purge out the old leaven from their own houses. From their own houses. And in this purging out of the old leaven, there is surely an exhortation to ourselves to part with the old leaven of our sins once and for all. To part with the old leaven of our sins that keeps us back from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how leaven is used, or yeast is used for making bread to rise. Now the leaven of sin in our lives is rising all the time. That is one reason sin is referred to in Scripture as a leaven, because it's continually rising. And therefore, you must turn away from it and put it out of your heart and out of your house and stretch out the empty hand of faith to Jesus Christ. This is the hyssop. This is the hyssop. The empty hand of faith, or the feet running like the wind, as it were, already like Moses with the hyssop, coming to Christ as our alone refuge and safety. Now the basin that Moses poured the blood of the Lamb into is the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace. The hyssop is the faith of Moses, and the basin is the covenant of grace. And in the covenant of grace, you have the gospel. The gospel itself is the offering of Jesus Christ in the covenant of grace. To sinners, as a shelter from God's wrath. And it's to sinners like ourselves, to yourself. And you and I are invited to bathe in the basin of the gospel of the covenant of grace, and to apply it to yourself by faith, by faith. It's there for you as a sinner. Don't say that my hands are too dirty. Don't say that I cannot just do this at this particular time. I dare not come for this bathing in the basin of the gospel and the covenant of grace. You may think that is a very worthy thing to say. But God, on the other hand, looks upon that kind of reason you give as unbelief. God calls it unbelief. Now in Exodus chapter 12, they were to sprinkle the blood on the doorposts and the lintels of their houses. The two doorposts, the uprights, and the top of the door, the frame. But they weren't to sprinkle any blood at all upon the threshold. Why? Well, because the blood of Christ is precious blood. And it's not to be trodden under the foot of men. Neither is the blood of the covenant to be counted an unholy thing. and neither is any despite to be done to the Spirit of grace. If blood was sprinkled along the threshold of the door, people would be walking on it. Their feet would be trampling that precious blood into the ground. But every rejection of Christ tonight is a trampling of the blood of Christ, as it were, into the ground. It is putting your foot on that blood and walking all over it. That is what it is. You stamp it into the ground and do despite to the Spirit of grace. No, the blood was on the doorposts and the lintels. And therefore, they were to walk in and walk under the blood, so that they were sheltered by the blood. And as they walked in, they were exercising faith. Exercising faith in the Lamb of God that John the Baptist came to speak of many, many years later. And as they walked in, it was being sprinkled all over them, from head to foot, to cover them and to shelter them from the destroying angel of justice. And there's more than enough in the blood of Christ for us all. More than enough. More than enough for sinners without number to be saved. It's not so much the quantity of the blood that was shed, but the quality of it that makes it more than enough for everyone who will. But whatever you do, don't despise it and trample it underfoot. Every turning away and every rejection of Christ is a trampling of the blood into the ground. And what hope has any got if they turn away from the alone Saviour? There is no other Saviour, no other salvation. But thirdly and finally here, I want to consider the solemnity of being without shelter. The solemnity of being without shelter. To be without Christ now, when you know the justice of God is going to be revealed at a time when you don't know, is very unwise indeed. Very unwise. What you do in that case is you reject your own mercy. You reject your own mercy. You are being continually spoken to. But the leaven of your own sins has risen to a height that it's got the better of you. It's definitely got the better of you. And you forget all about the protection that you need and the safety that every sinner needs for his and her never dying soul. God is a just God, as well as a Saviour. And he will surely come. Keep silence, shall not he. Before him fire shall waste. great storms shall round about him be. He shall waste with the fire of his wrath on those without shelter and who have no hiding place. You shall be where hell burns the hottest. Having had so many days in your life of grace on mercy's ground and continually rejecting him. What do you think he's going to do unto whom much is given? Of whom much is given, much shall be required. There's no escape apart from being under the shelter of the blood. That is why Moses took it by faith, and it's there for takers by faith. It's there to be taken. And so let each one of us take him and come under the shelter of his blood so as to be safe on that day. Amen. May he bless his word. Let us pray.